A translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the adhyatmic person, and the individual controlling deity of the senses is called adhyavik. The embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the adhibhautik person. Purport. The supreme controlling samam bonam is the personality of Godhead in his plenary portion of Paramatma, or the super soul manifested. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.42, it is said, Athava bhaunetena kim chattena tavarjuna vistabhyam idam kristanam ekam sena stito jagat. All the controlling deities like Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva are different manifestations of the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who exhibits himself in such manners by entering into each and every universe generated from him. But still, apparently, there are divisions of controller and controlled. For example, in the food controlling department, the controller of food is a person made of the same ingredients as the person who is controlled. Similarly, each and every individual in the material world is controlled by the higher demigods. For example, we have our senses, but the senses are controlled by superior controlling deities. We cannot see without light, and the supreme controller of light is sun. The sun god in the sun planet, and we, the individual human beings, or any other being on this earth, are all controlled by the sun god as far as our eyes are concerned. Similarly, all the senses we have are controlled by the superior demigods, who are also very much living entities as we are. But one is empowered while the other is controlled. The controlled living entity is called the adhyatmik person, and the controller is called the adhidevik person. All these positions in the material world are due to different fruitive activities. Any individual living being can become the sun god, or even Brahma, or any other god in the upper planetary system by a higher grade of pious work. And similarly, one becomes controlled by the higher demigods by lower grades of fruitive activities. So every individual living entity is subject to the supreme control of the Paramatma, who puts everyone in different positions of the controller and controlled. That which distinguishes the controller and the controlled, that is, the material body, is called Adhibhautik Purusha. The body is sometimes called Purusa, as confirmed in the Vedas. In the following hymn, Sava Esa Puruso Nana Rasama Yaha. This body is called the Anarasa embodiment. This body depends on food. The living entity which is embodied does not eat anything. However, because the owner is spirit in essence, the material body requires replacement of matter for the wearing and tearing of the mechanical body. Therefore, the distinction between the individual living entity and controlling planetary deities is in the anarasamaya body. The sun may have a gigantic body and the man may have a smaller body, but all these visible bodies are made of matter nonetheless. The sun god and the individual person, who are related as the controller and controlled, are the same spiritual parts and parcels of the Supreme Being. And it is the Supreme Being who places different parts and parcels in different positions. And thus the conclusion is that the Supreme Person is the shelter of all. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya manopishtam stapitam yena putale. Swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Vandeyam shri guru shri yuta padakamalam. Shri guru vaishnavam cha. Shri Rupam Sagra Chatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadbhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते ताप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषपानु सुते देवी प्रणामि हरि प्रिये वांचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी ते नामिने हरे कृष्ण एवरीवन. Thank you so much for allowing me to sit on this VSSN and purify myself. There are so many senior devotees here, so, and everyone else. I seek your blessings so we can discuss this verse. So I would like to start with a question. Who thinks that they are in control of their body and how? Are we able to control our body? Anyone? Yes, Prabhuji, how?
So if I want to move my hand, I just will it, and then I can grab like this microphone.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhuji.
That we have free will, so even if it's controlled by the demigods, we can still... Our intentions can decide what we do with our body.
Okay, thank you.
I cannot choose to not be ill, so I don't have control over that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then who thinks that their body is being controlled? Hands up if you think your body is being controlled. 1, 2, 3. Okay. How is it being controlled? By the Supreme Sanction. Okay, so we'll come back to this. So today we are looking at the controlling feature of the Parabrahman. So the translation speaks of three types of Purushas. So we'll look at those in some detail now. So Adhyatmika, the personality who is the possessor of the sense organs. So we have sense organs like the eyes, the nose, and in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, 6 to 7, Srila Prabhupada talks about the 10 senses. So we have the 5 knowledge acquiring senses, which are What are the five knowledge acquiring senses? The eyes, nose, ears, tongue, and touch. Thank you. And then we also have the five working senses, which are legs, hands, voice, anus, and genitals. So these are all the senses. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we also come across this term adhyatmika, which is suffering caused by our own mind and body. So this is linked here as suffering caused by the mind and body are perceived by the senses. So we hear all the time, don't we, that Prabhu, you need to control your senses, isn't it? So how can we control our senses? For example, we can use our senses in the service of the Lord. Can anyone think of a personality who used their senses in the service of the Lord? Amrish Maharaj, yes, perfect. So he used all his senses in the service of the Lord. So, you know, we can use our legs to walk to the temple. We can use our hands to worship the deities. We can use our eyes to see the beautiful deities. So all these are ways of using all our senses. So if we take the example of our eyes, we can use our eyes to either read or see something sinful, or we can use our eyes to see our beautiful deities, Radha Gokulananda. So does everyone agree that we have that control if we try to do this? Yeah, so we have that much control. So we are the possessor of the sense organs and we can control them to do certain activities. So then in today's verse, then it says there is a deity, individual deity, that controls our sense organs, and this personality is called Adidevik. So, however, the demigods are actually in control our senses. This is confusing, isn't it? That yes, we can control our senses, but then the demigods are in control of our senses. So, for example, we see in the purport, the demigod controlling our eyes is Surya or sun god. So without light, we can't see anything. I'm sure a lot of us have been in this situation where we've been in pitch dark and you can't see anything at all. So we need just a tiny glimmer of light and we start seeing. So without the sun god, we can't see at all. Similarly, all the senses are controlled by different demigods. So, for example, the sense of nose is the organ nose is controlled by the Ashwini Kumaras. And in this chapter, in text 17 to 30, we will go through all the different senses and the deities that actually control them. But again, the word Devika is also used in the Bhagavad Gita. It's used for miseries. Miseries, that we receive in this universe, it is suffering caused by higher authorities and natural disasters. So how do we understand that? So let's take the example of Lord Indra. So because Lord Indra in the Govardhan Leela got a little bit annoyed because he wasn't given all the offering. So Krishna arranged, and we'll go into this story later on, Krishna arranged for all the offerings to be offered to Govardhan Hill. So Indra got a little bit annoyed and he sent torrents of rains down to the Vrajvasis to cause them miseries, and Krishna saved them all. So we will come back to this Leela in a minute. Therefore, it seems like we have some control, but ultimately the sense organs are controlled by the demigods. But then we also have the third point in this verse that we've called the adibhautika. So the embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the adibhautik person. So I can see all of you, and you can all see me, right? Yes? But actually, you're not seeing me. You're not seeing me. What you're seeing is this body. Okay? So we are like this robot, and this robot also needs looking after. So, you know, we heard in the purport for wear and tear. So, you know, just like we have to take our car for MOT, this body needs food for our wear and tear. So this body is made of minute cells, and daily the cells are dying, and many cells are being regenerating. But gradually the production slows down. And then finally the production comes to an end, and we call this death. So then this body is of no use to us. We can't use it anymore. It becomes less useful, and then gradually no use as well. So once in a while, we should remind ourselves that this is a robot and I am inside, and this is not me. And Srila Prabhupada constantly he reminded us that we are not our body. We are not our body. Otherwise, identifying with this body is the root cause of our misery. Because of this body, we get attached to so many things. And then we start thinking that we have the power, we can control things. We are actually the controllers. There are so many leaders in this material world who think that they are in control, they are the leaders, they are powerful, and they want to control more and more. So, you know, all these wars that are happening in our world, it's because of wanting more power, wanting to control other people, wanting to control other countries, places. So that's why, you know, we want to control. However, this is all temporary. This body is temporary. You know, the places we might conquer are temporary. Everything is control. And when the body dies, then we don't have control over it at all. So sometimes, even when we are alive, we don't have control of our bodies. Can anyone think of an example that even while we are alive, we lose control of our body? Yes, stroke. Yeah, when you have a stroke or you get paralyzed or you have some illness, you really want to move your arm or your legs or something, you really can't because you can't have control over it. So it's like being in a car. You know, sometimes you're a passenger in a car and somebody might be driving recklessly. You know, you are just a passenger. So you might be screaming, you might be scared, but you can't do anything because the car is not in your control. Somebody else is controlling the car. Like that, you know, we don't have that control. So similarly, the demigods who are also ruling our body organs are temporary controllers. They get their power to control or rule from the Supreme Lord. And the demigods also change, so their position also changes. So after each manavantra, the demigods change position. And even Lord Brahma, who is the secondary creator, you know, his position is not permanent. You know, his position also changes. So if we go back to the Govardhan Leela again, you know, so we'll go a little bit into detail. I know that you all know this story, but it's relishable. You know, Krishna Leelas are relishable when we say them again and again. So all the Vrajvasis used to make offerings to Lord Indra. Why did they do that? Why did they do that? Why would they offer? Tradition. Excellent. Yes, they appreciate it. So I was just listening to Srila Prabhupada's class this morning, and Srila Prabhupada was talking about we have a debt. That we have a debt to the demigods, we have a debt to our parents, we have a debt to our ancestors. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that when we do not pay that debt back, then suffering will come to us, definitely. So we all have a debt to pay. But we will go into a little bit more what is the solution to that in a minute. But just for now, let's continue with the story. So, yes, they wanted to please Indra. They wanted to pay the debt. It was a tradition. But Krishna then said, the little Gopal said to his father Nanda Maharaj and all the other Gopas, that no, you know, we should offer it to Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan Hill is the one that is giving us everything to, you know, sustain our bodies. So then Nanda Maharaj and all the Rajavasis decided to make an offering to Govardhan Hill. And Lord Indra was not pleased at all, because he felt that I am the one giving you everything, I am in control, and you are not repaying. So he decided to punish. He sent torrents of rain and decided to punish everyone. And why did he want to do that? He wanted to establish the power and control, that I'm in control. Look, you know, I can make you suffer if you don't offer that bhoga or whatever to me. And we see that also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, he wanted to test Krishna as well. He thought that this little boy, he can't be the supreme controller. You know, he can't be the supreme. So he wanted to test him, and he stole the cowherd boys and, you know, all the cows. And, you know, within one day, that was just one day, that Krishna manifested himself into lots and lots of cowherd boys and cows, showing that he was in control. Shishi Radha Gokulanand ki jay, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jay, Gaur Nitai ki jay. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that it is the Supreme Lord as the Paramatma who decides who will be the controller and who will be controlled. So actually, any entity can become the sun god or even Brahma. So we can all become demigods by engaging in pious activities. So therefore, the person and demigod, they are both controlled by the Supreme Lord, who puts them in these different positions. So they are both spiritual parts of that Supreme Personality, of the Lord, but they have different duties and positions. So we can also become demigods. So who here would like to become Brahma? Anyone? No one? No? Yes. Yes. So Bhaktivinod Thakur said that a devotee, and that's why none of you put your hands up, a devotee doesn't want to become Brahma. They don't want to control. So they don't want that position, because they understand that even that is temporary. So they just want to depend on the Supreme Lord, who is the supreme controller at the end of the day. So we should not waste time becoming either the controller or the controlled. We should channelize our capacity to control, because we do all have that capacity. You know, we all want to control, don't we? I mean, I'll talk about myself. You know, when things go wrong, I get very upset because, you know, I want to control. You know, I want everything to be organized, you know, and, you know, it has to be like that, you know. And if it doesn't go like that, then I feel that, no, why is it not happening? Because that's my tendency to control. But if we do have that tendency to control, then we should use it to connect to the Supreme Controller. So, for example, if you're falling down from a height, gravity is pulling you down, then somebody, your friend, might put out a hand to you and you grab that hand, you know, so that they can pull you up again. Like that, there is a downward pull, you know, of senses and mind because of our contact with the three material modes of material nature. So the soul gets a body and gives it up, gets another body, gives it up. But under the control of, you know, the modes, we are getting dragged down again and again. However, the type of body we get, you know, is in some ways in our control. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that at the time of death, whatever you're thinking of, that is the type of body or that is the destination you will attain. So we have that little control, like Prabhuji was saying, that we have this minute control. So Krishna is actually the person, the friend, who is actually putting the hand out to grab us, to take us out of that downward pull of, you know, mind and senses being pulled down by that. So we should grab it with two hands. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is here to do that, to purify our body, both the subtle and our physical body. And we can do this in various ways. So can anyone give me an example? How can we purify this body? Chanting, yes. So we can use our sense of tongue to chant. What else can we use as, you know, use our sense of tongue for? Chanting. Eating remnants of food offered to the Lord, eating prasadam, going there, Prabhu. Okay, so our body is purified by taking dust off the devotees. Yes, chanting by what we are doing now, Krishna Katha. All these are different ways of just controlling the tongue. And each of our senses, actually, we can control. But we can, use to connect with Krishna and, you know, purify them. And we see that a perfect example in Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada took total shelter of Krishna. You know, so many things were happening in his life, so many challenges were coming. But at each point, he just said, up to Krishna, you know, I leave it up to Krishna. I take shelter of Krishna. So again and again, whatever happened, he never tried to control that I need to do this and I need to do that. You know, my spiritual master has given me these instructions. I must fulfill it. So you must open these temples no matter what happened. He wanted all these things to happen, but ultimately he would say, it's up to Krishna. If Krishna wants me to do it, I will do it. Even on the Jaladuta, he said, Krishna, it's up to you. If you want me to go and preach, I will. If you don't, then it's up to you. So Krishna actually is in control. So we should take ashraya, shelter of Krishna. Okay, so to finish off, and then we can open up for reflections. I just wanted to make one more point. So do we all agree that Krishna is the supreme controller? Yes, we have a little bit control of our senses and the demigods control our senses even more. But ultimately, even the demigods are controlled by Krishna. So he is the ultimate controller. However, this supreme controller who created the whole cosmic universe, who maintains it, who annihilates it, can also be controlled. He can also be controlled. So we all know that Krishna is controlled by, who is he controlled by? Pure devotees. So we know that Krishna is controlled by the gopis. And we see in the Damodar Leela that Mother Yashoda is able to bind Krishna. So if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's the ultimate controller, how is it that this gopi in Vraja manages to bind him with a rope to a mortar? You know, so it is by her motherly love. So, you know, Krishna was controlled by her motherly love. So, you know, all devotees, all they want is to devote and take shelter of Krishna. And what Krishna wants is the devotee's love. So there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. And in this verse, Krishna says, you can offer me anything, a fruit, flower, whatever, but the main ingredient is offer it with love. So that's all Krishna wants. He wants love. So to conclude, if we want to control, why control the temporary world, the temporary body? Let's aim for the highest goal. You know, but devotees are so humble that we don't want to control anything. All we want to do is to be servants, and not just servants of Krishna, the Lord. We want to be the servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord. So this was just a little bit about control and being controlled and the ultimate controller. So we've got 5 minutes and we can open it up for reflections. You know, there are more senior devotees here, so maybe they can share something on this verse. It was a really, you know, technical verse, all this cosmic manifestation, and, you know, it's quite challenging to understand, but, you know, we've tried to understand it in a little way, so I open it up. If anyone's got any reflections, please do share. Govinda Prabhu, you have something to say?
Thank you for your thought-provoking class. I was wondering, what about controlling other devotees for the sake of, say, a project or so forth? It's kind of like, is it right to do that or is it not right?
I don't know the answer to that because I'm in the same position. I'm in this volunteering office and I'm, you know,
so you're the perfect you're the perfect devotee to ask and answer this question because this is exactly what you're doing.
It's not about controlling because we don't control anyone. You know, we are instruments. We are instruments in Krishna's hands and we are facilitating. So we are not controlling those devotees in the project. We are giving them an opportunity to purify their life by serving Krishna. So, you know, we are giving them that opportunity.
I've just been given a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. We cannot exist without receiving help from others. We are constantly dependent on others. We are never independent.
Thank you. Thank you. But we should never think that we are controlling. We are not in control. So, you know, I will give you my own example. I'm in this volunteering office and, you know, I get these messages, or can we have 10 volunteers for this thing, event that's happening? Can I have volunteers for this, that and the other? I put out a word and, you know, offer it to all the devotees. You know, there are these services. But at the end of the day, it's up to Krishna and it's up to each individual. I can't control that. So, you know, then there is a point when the day comes and the devotee says, right, Sachirani, where are the 10 devotees? And I'm like, okay, I managed to get 2, but, you know, that's it. So I'm not in control, you know, I'm just an instrument and Krishna is in control and everyone has a free will. So we can't control. That is my understanding. Thank you. Yes, Prayojan.
I can remember an occasion where somebody who is in a superior position uses another a person in a you could say lower position and authority to get their own sense gratification. In other words, it's sort of abuse of privilege, it seems. And I can remember that. And and of course, they couldn't refuse because they were intimidated. You know, that the Bhaktas were intimidated or by his authority. Mm. Get me this, get me that. I can remember that. Using them as his personal servants. Mm. When he's not the heir authority. Mm. But he used his... I suppose is all what is his seeming authority. I can remember that. So that can be a very awkward situation.
It is, yes, yeah. It can be. But like we heard today, that we all have this tendency to control and misuse whatever authority we've been given. But we are all in the same position where we can take up Krishna consciousness and purify ourselves. Pranabandhu Prabhu always gives this example, which I really like, that we are all in the hospital. You know, some people have serious illnesses, some not. But we are all in this material world and we all have that, you know. We are all in this hospital. We are all trying to get better. So, yeah, we can all try and purify ourselves so that when we have these positions or authority, we don't misuse it, I suppose. Thank you, Prabhuji. Okay, any Matajis? Yes, Neha Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very Krishna. Nice class. Thank you so much, especially the Damodar Leela and Govardhan Leela. I wanted to ask you, Mataji, you said that, you know, how we can purify our senses through chanting or reading or hearing, and then you mentioned that how we have a little bit of control on our senses, but then demigod also controls our senses, and supreme controller is Krishna. But then, you know, as we said that we purify slowly our senses, once the senses are purified, our heart or minds are purified, does demigod, who are controller of those senses and mind, do they still continue to control us, or then it goes to supreme controller at the end?
Yes, so I didn't finish my story that I was telling when I was listening to Srila Prabhupada this morning. And he was saying that, yes, we do have a debt to the demigods, we have a debt to our ancestors and whatever. But when we take shelter of Krishna, then all our debts are paid off. So then we don't owe anything to anyone. And yes, to a certain degree, we are still controlled, or rely would be a better word. You know, we rely on the demigods to provide us. But then they are also given that position by Krishna. So it's about watering the root. If we water the root, Krishna, then, you know, the demigods are supplying us with the light and everything. So we do need that. So, you know, there's two bits to this, that yes, we can control our eyes to see something good or, you know, not. But then ultimately the eyesight wouldn't even be there for us to control if it wasn't for the demigods. So it's like taking that a little step higher, that without light, you know, we couldn't even have eyesight. But once we've got that eyesight, we have a little bit of control to how we are going to use that eyesight. But then the ultimate controller is Krishna. Does that answer?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so it's 8:30, so I guess we should stop. Thank you all so much for listening patiently and participating. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavind Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand.